Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de Lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
Thanks, everyone, and thanks for singing, and have a seat. Again, you can take off your mask. I never thought I'd say that. Put your mask on, sing, take off your mask, sit down. It's kind of creepy. If they watch this in 10 years, they'll be like, what the heck was that? That was weird. COVID era. This morning, I want to continue in the series that we've been in, and you know, as I was thinking about what to preach on, I was kind of torn. I'm like, do I do kind of a special sermon? Do I kind of continue in our series? And we actually have been in the series on spiritual practices, and if you're watching online, you know this, you've been tracking along. And I felt that the spiritual practice I wanted to talk about today fits so well with this experience of being here and of getting through this next season. And I'll tell you it in a second, but I want to begin by asking you a very simple question. I want you to think about this, okay? I want you to think of a time in your life when you were experiencing something that no one else really understood. I want you to think of a time in your life where you felt a certain pressure, a certain weight, a certain anxiety, that you knew that as much as you talked about it, other people just didn't understand it. Maybe, you know, if you're a teenager, you're watching your parents, or you remember being younger, and you're trying to tell your parents like feelings that you have, and they're like, they don't understand. Like, they're trying to tell you about when it was like in their time. Like, I'm not a teenager anymore, although I look very young, I know. But I'm not a teenager, but even to this point, like when I explain stuff to my parents, they have a story about how it was when they were younger, and I'm like, I don't feel like you understand, you know? Or I find if you remember like being newlyweds or in a relationship, you know, the feeling of telling someone that's supposed to be like your soulmate, how you feel about something and they don't understand. And it's that first moment in a relationship that you think you married the wrong person. You know, that moment you're like, oh, maybe I should have bought a cat or something like that, right? You just kind of like, you don't understand how I feel? And they're like, not really. All of us have a moment somewhere in our lives, and if you haven't had it yet, you're gonna have it, where you're feeling something that others just don't understand. And this morning, I wanna talk to you about a spiritual practice that really helps us to understand what it means that in Christianity, God provides His presence with us in those times to help us know that He understands. It's a very, very important thing. And so this morning, we're gonna look at a spiritual practice. And before I do that, I just wanna highlight where we've been in the series. So you'll see on the screen behind me, or if you're watching online, you'll just see a pop up there. These are some of the spiritual practices that we've kind of been going through. And these practices have been like an invitation to you and to me to remember that our lives require a certain rhythm of the things that we do consistently. You know, they're not just habits that we fall into by mistake. You don't automatically wake up one morning and say, I'm gonna just start fasting. It's an intentional decision if you choose to fast. It's an intentional decision if you say there's areas in my life that I need to practice confession better in. Like I need to confess and repent. All these different practices of what we've kind of been going through. And if you've been watching online, which I'm sure all of you have consistently, right? Right? I'm just thinking about like, which one of these are you doing? Like, which one of these have you tried? Maybe some of you tried fasting this week and you realize it's harder than I thought. I've been so encouraged, really, as a pastor to know just a few weeks ago, we launched our Bible study that we did on Monday nights. And it was so encouraging to have just over 20 people, almost 25 people who are here who wanted to think about what does it mean to take Bible reading and studying the Bible seriously. You know, and the commitment, like every Monday night. And let me tell you, Monday nights we were here was hot. It felt like Bible times hot. You know, like sweating, taking notes. And I'm like, yes, like we're doing this together, right? Just spending the summer saying the summer of 2020 was insane, crazy, but I grew in how I understand the Bible. I grew in reading the Bible. And so this morning, I wanna add just one more practice to this whole schedule. And I wanna look at the practice of intercessory prayer. I want us to look at this beautiful ancient practice of what it means not only to pray, but to pray for someone else. But before I do that, I wanna warn you of a temptation that we all face. We're all gonna face this. I don't know if you're listening to us a podcast later. We're all gonna face this temptation. Okay, and I'm gonna give you the temptation in the form of a joke. Okay, I read this quote and I thought it was a funny joke, and here it is. You'll see it on the screen. You can go to it, okay? It's right there. Yeah, I'll need up there too. If at first you don't succeed, lower your standards. Okay? How many of you have done this before in your life, right? All of us do it right around the end of January. You have all the resolutions ready, you try, you realize you're not that good, you're not that committed. It was great when you told your wife or your husband, and you just kind of lower your standards. You start doing less and less and less. And by the time you're done, you realize, you know, I'm not doing any of this. Anything I have to do, I'm stopping right now. That's the temptation we're all gonna face. I faced it, and you're gonna face it. It's the temptation to say, you know what, although I might be struggling, although I'm not sure how to do this practice all the time, I'm not gonna stop doing this. I'm gonna consistently find a way to trust God, to have a new practice formed in my life. And I've said this before, all of us have been formed by different practices. All of you in the next 3 to 5 minutes are all gonna get the same itch, and that's to look at your phone. Every one of you is gonna feel it. And some of you, I'm on stage, I could see you, are gonna pick up your phone. You're gonna look at it. That's a practice that somebody taught you to develop. It got shaped in you consistently. All of us have things in our lives, a practice. There was a time when I never drank coffee. Now if I get up and I don't have coffee, I'll sell my kids on the internet. I'll lose it. You know, I'm like, nobody talk to me. Somebody that got formed in me. That's a practice that happened. And in some ways it can be funny, it can be whatever, but the spiritual life requires a certain commitment to a way of life where Jesus and the ways of God are formed in us again. They're formed in us in a new way. God starts to transform us right from the inside out. And so this morning, I wanna look at this whole issue of prayer. And I wanna encourage you that this too, you might have moments where you're like, I tried this, it's hard. This is something we can all do, learn how to pray. So I wanna talk about that, and I wanna read a psalm. You'll see in the psalm on the screen again. It says this in the Psalms. I will praise you 7 times a day because all your regulations are just, says the psalmist. If you've never read the Psalms or you're new to the Bible, basically the Psalms are the prayers of people throughout the years. And this psalm in particular reminds us of one of the ways that the Jewish people had prayer practice shaped into their lives. Jesus would have followed the same concept of like regular times in the day where they stop to pray. Other religions have this as well, by the way. It's regular times of slowing down to pray. It doesn't have to be a long prayer, but it's the sense that their lives are guided by the presence of God no matter what's happening, okay? It's just a reminder, regular prayer. And before I talk about intercessory prayer, I wanna just let you know that this idea of prayer is so essential to a practice of being a Christian that as soon as you become a Christian or as soon as kind of you kind of understand the faith, it's something you learn fairly quickly. It's like when you're a young person and you say, you know, by the time a child is like 6 or 7, you might say, it's good for them to learn how to ride a bike, right? Or to learn how to swim. There are certain things that are almost like a given thing that you kind of have to learn to develop. And prayer is one of those things, no matter who you meet, they'll say, yeah, prayer is important, but I don't do it. In a very strange way. Or they'll say like, prayer really matters, but I'm not sure how to pray, so I don't make it a priority. And so I really wanted to spend some time to talk about this. And in the early church, we know, this is a fascinating thing that you might not have thought of, but in the early church, some of the earliest Christians were so committed to praying consistently that they wanted to learn how they would pray in a group of people, like sometimes it was in a monastery or in the context of a community, and to pray together in these regulated ways, to know that basically this morning we are worshiping together with people online, right? You know that feeling like we're doing this simultaneously with others, right? But think about how they would do this without a clock, without a watch. Like everything in our lives is regulated by a clock. Our phones are all connected to the world clock. When we go live online, we're live here, there's a clock. The earliest Christians were some of the first people to invent the systems that would eventually give us a clock because they wanted to learn how to pray together. They moved away from just a sundial, like telling the time by the sun, to starting to find ways to develop a system so they all could pray across parts of the world at the same time. And today, the benefit of that, the invention that came out of that commitment is something we take for granted, all of us. It's this dumb thing in your phone, that's a clock, or if you wear a watch. Now, I know that's weird to think of, because when you think of church, you think of people who are like, you know, I think of church, or I tell people about, like, hey, you wanna come to church? And you're like, oh, church, it's so behind. Church is like behind 50 years, like what do they know in church, right? We don't realize that Christians at times were leading the way in making changes in the world. Christians were the ones who said, because we want to pray, because we want to be shaped by this practice together, we need a better system to tell time at the same time across multiple locations. Like it's just a blessing of them taking spiritual practices seriously that now the whole world has benefited from it. And different companies and businesses and everything that you see, every computer, every car is running by a mechanism of a clock. It needs that, shaped by those who want it to practice prayer consistently. And so this morning, as we move towards thinking about prayer, I wanna begin like in a basic way, I thought of like a simple way, is to just tell you like how Jesus warns us about prayer. Jesus has this like gentle reminder of why prayer is so important. And if you know the Bible well, maybe this will jog your memory, is that the prayer section in the Bible is very close to the fasting section in the Bible. They're actually connected together, almost because as you fast, you often would pray, right? And so in Matthew's gospel, as Jesus is teaching, one day he's gonna teach about prayer. And I wanted to just introduce the idea of prayer and then talk about intercessory prayer, because you need to have one before the other, right? This is what Jesus says at one point. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, this is all the reward they will ever get. Wow. And like that's sharp language. It took a long time for me to learn this. It took a long time for me to understand this very simple idea. And if you're taking notes, you're watching, you want to write this down. There are prayers that God himself ignores. Just let that like sit in your heart. That there's prayers that you could pray that God just ignores completely. Because deep in your heart, you are not really shaped by wanting to be closer to God, by wanting to grow in your love for God. You actually are moved to pray for the applause of people. And those prayers, God just ignores. He ignores them completely. Matthew says, you know, God sees these people praying. They're gonna receive the reward in full, but it's not really gonna matter. That when we learn about prayer, we have to begin by this very simple idea that prayer calls us to this place of humility where we desire to be formed by being in the presence of God. And in this passage, if you read on, we don't have time to unpack it in a deeper way now, but Jesus is like, he's not saying never pray in public, because I pray in public. He's just saying that when you pray in public, make sure your life is so formed by prayer when you're private, when you're in private, that you're not concerned about what people are saying when you pray in public. Right? That your life has been formed in such a deep way that you're not concerned about what people say. Not that we live in a world where people live where they're concerned about what people say. We don't live in that kind of world, right? Not at all. The whole world is rigged around that principle. What are people gonna say? Did they tag me? Did they share what I wrote? Did they say? Prayer is the thing that destroys that in our, it destroys the mechanism of the world that says, you should always be concerned about what people say. God's like, no, just practice praying. Practice regularly coming to me and don't worry about what people say. And learn this practice privately. Learn to let that shape you and inform you. And as a pastor, this is something that I often am a part of a lot. I think about prayer. I think of our prayer team that we have here. Some of you know this. We moved to like a Zoom prayer structure when this all happened. And I'm so grateful for our teams and our leaders providing an online place to pray, which is a little bit awkward, you know, just to be honest. Like, I wish somebody would pray for me, and you're like, it's through a screen, it buffers, glitch, Zoom shuts down, whatever. We love you, Zoom. Okay, we're still good. So this idea that it's very easy to eventually kind of pray because of how people kind of see you. And over the years, I've seen people use prayer in a very negative way. That prayer actually has a dark side. That people can start to want to be, like, I remember once there was somebody in a previous context where they always said to me, I'm a prayer warrior. They had to tell everybody that they're a prayer warrior. They had to tell everybody that they got to pray for people. And it was very weird, that pattern of needing other people to know that they're special prayer people. And I kept thinking, I'm like, wait a second, that's kind of a red flag in my head. There's something about a person who's shaped in private prayer that doesn't need the public applause of people when there's public prayer. Okay, this is such an important idea. Because you can never pray for someone else interceding for them if you're concerned about what they think. Remember, you can never really learn intercessory prayer if you haven't sorted out what it means that when you pray, you know how to pray privately. You know how to pray for the sake of just learning to pray. Because all of us know the feeling that the minute you start to pray with another, for another, in the intercession way, there's a whole new dynamic and it's really, really difficult. So I want us to just move over to the idea of prayer is like basic. All of us should be learning how to pray. All of us should be looking for times in our schedules, and for some of you, maybe it's something quick depending on the season of your life. For some of you, maybe it's something more regulated because that helps you, whatever that is. The practice of slowing down to say, God, you promised me, us, that when we slow down to call on you, you're like a father who hears a child. You're like, you know, because I have small kids, I often think of them yelling in a group of a lot of people. And if you're a parent, you know this. Your kids yell in a group of 50 kids, you have like a spidey sense. You hear, that's my son. Or like right there, that's him, right? Think about when you pray, think about that God hears your voice that way. In a room of 100 people, 50 people, 1,000 people, you pray and something profound happens where God is present with you in that moment. And he's present not because he's always going to answer your prayer, but he really starts to shape something in us that the ways and the pressures of the world don't stick to us in the same way. The practice of prayer. But after we learn that, the Bible invites us to this sense of an intercessory way of prayer, where we pray for other people as well. Because prayer is not just for you. When you learn about prayer as it being something just for you, God becomes like Santa. You just go to God when God has to give you stuff. But when intercessory prayer becomes a practice, you realize that God is shaping prayer in you for the sake of others as well. That as you learn to pray, you bless other people as you learn to pray with them, to hear their voice, to hear their needs, to hear their struggles. And prayer gets, in a new way, is shaped to a community of people who are praying and learning to pray. Now, I want to tell you about intercession, if you've never heard the word, in two parts. Okay, how many parts? How many? Okay, some people, they're here. If you're online, they're here, they're listening, okay? Two parts, really, really important. You have to understand intercession in two parts. The first part is called special intercession. What's it called? Special intercession. This is the type of intercession that the Bible talks about. And if if the word intercession feels weird because you don't use it all the time, because I don't really use it, it just means to make a plea on behalf of another, to carry something with someone else, right? That's maybe a better idea, right? That the first understanding of intercession in the Bible is called what? Special. Come on. 3 months away and everything shuts down here. In the game. Special intercession. It's special because only God does it. It's special because none of us get to intercede in this way. And I want to show you. The Bible talks about this kind of intercession. And it talks about it in the book of Romans a lot in a few other areas. You'll see it on the screen. I'll read it for you. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I mean, I felt that these past 3 months, by the way. And he who searches our hearts, only God can do this, knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Woof, it's a mouthful. Okay, I'm just going to leave it there for a second. You can read it, write it down, read it again. The Bible invites us to see that there's a type of special intercession that the Spirit of God does on our behalf. It's such a beautiful image of knowing that when we have times where we feel nobody understands what you feel. That in Christianity, it was so unique to say that there's a God that not only understands what you feel, but even when you don't understand what you feel, the Spirit intercedes on your behalf. You know how beautiful that is? Like, I probably had 10 moments over this past COVID saga where I had no words. No words. My prayer was, I hope nobody calls me. I hope nobody emails me. I hope nobody asks me, Pastor Dom, what should we do about masks? I have no words. I do not know. And I just sat and I prayed quietly and I just said, I believe in the promises that the Spirit now is interceding on my behalf and the behalf of our church. I have no words. You're gonna have moments. Maybe you've already had them for your kids, for a work situation, for a conflict, right? That you're like, I need to remember that even when I start to pray for others, that God is already interceding on my behalf. That God is teaching me. Now, let me say, this is really, really important. You have to remember this. That when God intercedes on our behalf, he's not interceding just to help us make good decisions. Paul says to the church in Romans, you'll see the passage there. He says that when he intercedes to help us get a better reflection of our hearts. He's interceding so that we would be aware of what's going on in our hearts and that our hearts, if you're taking notes, you want to write this down, that our hearts are aligned with the will of God. Okay, that's important. Because a lot of people, they pray, like I've had moments through the years, people are like, I've really been praying for this and God's not doing it. I'm like, stop praying it. God's never gonna do that. They're like, well, how do you know? I'm like, I know, because the rest of the Bible warns us against that. Prayer where God is interceding for us is the kind of prayer where we say, God, I'm too weak to really understand the complexity of this. I'm too human, meaning I have a limitation. My humanness limits me. And it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In a world that teaches us to never be weak, prayer reminds us that there's times when we have to be honest that we're weak. I know why then people don't want to pray, because nobody wants to say that they're weak. I know that I have times where I'm like, I want to preach and I want to have everybody to know that I have the fire and the anointing and we're going to do this and we're going to take off your masks, come to the front. And I'm like, then I read Romans and I'm like, okay, pause. Okay, God, I'm sorry. In my weakness, there are times where I do not know. In your weakness, there will be times where you do not know. And the Spirit of God will intercede on your behalf. And if you read lower in this passage, it says Jesus himself is also interceding. Can you imagine? Like, think of Jesus as a big brother who intercedes for you. Like, he's like, I got this. You're not alone. Intercession does not mean that that means we get what we pray for. It means that in the interceding, we are open, our hearts are open to saying, God, is the thing that I'm carrying, is it aligned with your will? Is it aligned with the things that you're calling me to? Or is it my own selfish ways that I want you to answer my prayer for me? Okay? So there's this, what's this kind of intercession called? Special. It's special because none of us get to do it. We don't get to do this intercession. Only God knows your heart. Only God knows my heart. And he promises us that he has a way that he intercedes for us as we pray. So I want to tell you about the one that we're involved in, which is the second way of understanding intercession, and we'll kind of start to wrap it up. And that's called shared interceding. There's special interceding. We don't touch that one. We just receive a gift from that one. The shared interceding is the one that we do for one another, the one where others do this together. And I learned this in a funny way. Like, a few months ago, I was talking to my kids, and, you know, we have, those of you know us, we have three small kids. They're different ages, but we're trying, like, we try to pray with them. You know, we're trying to teach them how to pray. And if you have kids and you're learning how to pray, you know that, you know, I love you boys if you're watching. You're probably not because you're on YouTube watching a game. Okay. So there's this sense that you're trying to teach your kids how to pray, right? And their prayers are like funny. You're trying not to laugh because they pray for silly things, but they're learning. They're learning to realize that God is bigger and they have to trust God. And so we have a moment where I was telling the kids, you know, I said, you know, Dad's like really, really been stressed lately. And I just wanted to practice confession. So I told them. And they're like, whatever, where's the ketchup? You know, whatever, they don't even care. So we're going through this time, and at one point with one of my sons, I was going through a difficult time, and I turned to him and I said, hey, bud, today, like, would you pray for me? Would you pray for Dad? One of the most profound experiences you will have as a parent is when you have your kids who pray for you. When you've poured into them and modeled prayer, where they now are like, Dad, can I pray for you? That is game-changing in life. To start to experience intercession where another person wants to help you know that you don't have to carry what you have on your own. That there's, I'm here with you, I got this. So I turned to my son and I said, hey, bud, would you pray for Dad? Like, just pray like general. I didn't even say that. And he said, no, I'm not gonna do it. I said, okay. And that's it, and he went to play video games. And he's laughing at me. You're all laughing at me in your hearts. Sorry, Will, if I'm walking too much. It was okay. And he just said no, and I didn't make a big deal. I'm like, it's okay, Dad will pray, right? But I realized in that moment that one of the fears of learning intercessory prayer is that you're not only afraid to pray publicly, like, am I going to do it right? But what if you pray for it doesn't happen? Like, what if, like, I pray for you, God, you're going to do a new thing, and then the person's like, you know what, things got worse after you prayed. Wah, wah, wah. You're like, I'm going to change religion. I got it all wrong. Whatever. Like, we have all these ideas in our head. So we never even move towards practicing, you know, praying for someone else. So I want to help you understand very, very simply that when the Bible talks about intercession, it talks about in a simple way, not that we have the responsibility of getting the prayers answered, but it's that we hear the weight that someone else is carrying and bring that weight with them to God. Just if you want an image in your head, think of if I'm trying to lift a heavy rock here, and I just can't, and Leanne sees it like, no, I got this. Okay. And you just lift that and you walk with me. You just walk with me. At the end, the rock is still here and it's still really, really big. Only God can really change the rock, right, into something not a rock. But that someone else was there is the beginning of an essential Christian practice called intercessory prayer. That you carry something with someone else. One of the most beautiful things I felt in this difficult season is to have elders and leaders in our church that I knew that they were carrying the burdens of this church with me, together. And I wasn't like alone flipping coins trying to make decisions. There's just others there and they're like, we got this. It's just not on you. Because you know what? This is not my church and it's not your church. It's the church of Jesus. So we got to learn how to just intercede with each other and be like, what does this look like? The Bible tells us the unique shared intercession actually is connected to the elders. And I'll show you the slide. This is a passage in James that I love. You can go to the James passage. You'll see it. It says, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. This is one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. To say, hey, is there a kind of sickness? Now, in the ancient world, oftentimes, if someone was sick, they did their best to get help with medication at the time. But they really believed that someone who was sick also had a connection with God, that they could pray. And so they said, you can go to the elders. Now, why are the elders really unique in this shared intercession? Because they're the ones who already are practicing following the will of God in the church. They're already practicing the Romans passage. Elders are already learning what it means to listen for the will of God in the life of the church. So they're the ones that are often encourage them to pray with you. We've done that in our church. We've had people who've felt an illness or something really, really scary, and we've anointed them with oil and we've prayed for them. So I want you to remember that, that there's a shared intercession that we do for one another, okay? And for you this week, can I just give you like a simple thing to do? Just try this week, if it's a write out, don't get all creepy on someone. Say, I learned I gotta do intercession prayer. I know you're not into this, but I'm gonna try it on you. Don't do that, okay? So like just if there's the right opportunity where somebody's like, you know, I'm going through a lot, would you say, hey, are you okay if I pray for you about that? And they might say, well, that's kind of awkward. Like, just say, okay, I'll pray for this for you at home. And then next week, you tell me how you're doing. Just try. There's something beautiful when you start to experience that God is using you to help another person carry a burden. And now often when you hear about intercessory prayer, okay, you hear about intercessory prayer in the context of something bad going on or something heavy or something like, oh my gosh, I can't do it, right? But I also want to just highlight, before I wrap it up, I want to wrap up a moment in the Bible where intercessory prayer is used for a blessing, not just for a burden, okay? That when we think of someone praying for something for us, we pray when we're going through a crisis and we don't know what's going on, so I hope somebody would pray for me and intercede for me. But we rarely hear about the joy of intercessory prayer when something exciting is about to happen in someone's life. If you're writing something down, I want you to remember this, that some of the blessings that God has in store for you and for me are too big for you to carry alone. Some of the blessings that God has in store for you are just too massive for you to hold on to them by yourself, that other people must come alongside of you to carry the blessings that God has in store for you. And oftentimes in church, we're always in burden mode. You know that in church? Oh, woe is me. I got to go to the church. It's really bad. God doesn't love me. And then you leave and you're like, come back next week. Like God is like a drug for like a sickness. And we rarely forget that there's a blessing that God also gives to us, and intercession is required for that as well. Like the blessing of starting our church here, I think of the blessing of meeting you and seeing that required tons of people praying, not because something bad was going on, not because I was sad, but because of great joy. And not really knowing what to do with great joy. You know, if you've ever had a child, you know what it's like to get intercession prayer for the joy of having a baby. You know, you're like, you're excited of a new thing, right? So in Mark's gospel, there's this moment with a beautiful story. I want to read it for you and I'll wrap up. There's this moment where there's a guy who we know the Bible calls a paralytic. And some of you probably know this story. You've heard the story. This paralytic cannot walk, can't get to Jesus. And Jesus is in his hometown. And he's in his hometown, and we're told the most profound thing happens. That four men, we assume, see this guy, and they're like, listen, Jesus is not too far from here. And we don't know the details, so I'll wing it how I think it would have happened, okay? Jesus is not too far from here. If we can grab the paralytic, their friend, Sammy, if we can grab Sammy, and we could get him to Jesus, he might heal him. And they're like, dude, like, when is he coming? Like, what day? I don't know. We don't have clocks yet. I'm not sure. I think it's, I don't know, when the sun is there, that day. Okay? So they're working this out, and they're like, well, I got to take off work to show up. Like, think about somebody calling you to take off work. Be like, oh, it's too much. I can't. Try to get someone else. I can't do that. Four people. Get this guy. And Mark tells us that in this moment, they get to Jesus. They're interceding on behalf of this guy that cannot carry the weight of this by himself, okay? Now, think about this. They pick this person up, And they get to the house where Jesus is, and what they get there, it's their worst nightmare. Some of you know, they get there, and it's the bell center when the Habs win the cup. That sound like cup, we're getting there. They get people everywhere, and they're holding their friend, Sammy, and Sammy's like, guys, I told you not to bring me. Like, it's crazy. They get there, and they're like, what are we gonna do? So one of them, two of them, three of them, probably a woman on the side. Is that a good idea? Huh, some of you ladies? Okay, whatever. Thanks, Joe, that was for you, let me down. We're canceling church, we're just doing it on YouTube from now on. I could pretend that you care about my jokes. Okay, so there's this moment where they're like, we're gonna go on the roof and we're gonna lower him down and maybe Jesus will touch him. They're interceding, not just in their prayers, but in their actions. Church is filled with people who will pray with you but never lift a finger to help you. Remember that. We are not gonna be that kind of church. It's so easy to say, yeah, I'm praying, but could you help in like showing up? No, no, I don't show up. It's inconvenient. That Mark says, do you understand these guys are like, we're gonna show up and we're not gonna stop till we get him to Jesus. We have no idea what the relation is to this man. And this is what Mark says. It's a profound moment. It says this, some men came bringing to him a paralytic man carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Disaster. Imagine the guy who owns that house. I'm gonna kill you guys. Okay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. If you've ever read this passage, it's mind-blowing. I have so many questions about this. We're a church that believes that you read the Bible and it comes alive. I have a question about who's paying for the roof? Like, what do you mean you broke the roof of the guy's house? And they're making it happen, and is Jesus like, guys, I can't see now. What's all this dust? What, like, all the details. And then here's the worst part of the whole story. The guy, they're waiting for Jesus to heal this guy, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Nobody asked Jesus to forgive sins. The guy can't walk. Like, Jesus, I don't think you understand. We didn't come here for, like, a spiritual support. This guy's got to walk. So before I tell you how that story ends, I just want to remind you that this is a moment where we share interceding for the sake of others, where we step in and we help and we respond by prayer and by action to carry the weights, the pressures. Sometimes it could be a sin, it could be a regret, it could be a mistake of someone and say, you're not in this alone, buddy. You're not in this alone. I think about if this paralytic man is never healed in the story, to know he has four friends, who that day did everything they could to get him to Jesus, changed his life. Four friends. Do you have four friends who would do that for you? Do you have two friends who would do that for you? That's deep, Don. Four friends. They get him to Jesus. And Jesus says something so profound. He says, your sins are forgiven. He sees the faith, the interceding ways of these four guys. Stops the crowd. Says, your sins are forgiven. This is important because Jesus' message was that he was not only healing people's physical bodies, but the physical healing that they're seeking actually needs to be dealt with in a more spiritual way. So he says, your sins are forgiven too. It's almost like you understand that I'm here to do two things. I'm here to deal with the spiritual evil in the world and also the physical. For us, it's usually flipped around. Like, I don't care if my sins are forgiven, just heal me. Jesus doesn't do that. He sends a message and does both. And right away, the religious leaders lose their mind. They get mad. Why are you doing this? They miss the whole miracle because Jesus is gonna look at the man and say, take up your mat, rise up, and walk now. I wanna just remind you how important it is that as we leave today, that you leave with your masks on, number one. Number two, that you leave remembering that Jesus intercedes for you. That God is interceding for you right now to help your heart align itself to the will of God the Father. The Father who loves you. Like, and there's gonna be moments, like I have moments where you're like, I don't know how to pray. Like, no one understands the weight of this. Just to know that God intercedes for you. And out of that, that we would be people who practice sharing in the intercession with others. That this week, in a simple way, little homework, where you would just say, you know, God, like, if there's an opportunity, I just want someone to know that they're not alone in this. And so I'm going to have you stand, and I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for you. You said something to me that I think is for you. And I was like, what? Always a little bit creeped out. You know, you're like, gotta go, hang up, you know? And so I said, sure, what is it? And I really believe that God does that because we intercede for one another and you discern and you listen and you pray and you figure it out. And they said, they had no idea that I was praying this prayer. They said to me, Pastor, as I was praying, I felt God wanted me to tell you that help is on the way. And I was like, wow. Could never have known that I was praying that somebody would just carry this with me. And through all that stuff, you know, our elders stepped up and we have Pastor Michael joining our team soon and help is coming and all these pieces. And I remember how important it was for me to learn the season of intercession, of waiting, and in my weakness saying, God, you're going to have to lead other people to carry this. Some of you are here now and God's already using you. And some of you, you're about to learn what it looks like when God uses you to help someone else carry something heavy. And so as I pray for us, I want you to remember that there's a special kind of intercession that God does for you, and that out of that, we are invited to share in intercession as we carry the burdens of others. Let's just pray. Father, we're so grateful for this sacred time. We're mindful of the many people, again, who maybe are watching online or listening on a podcast, and I pray that this morning's spiritual practice would begin to be formed in us as a church, that we would remember that we are those who are being prayed for, that the Spirit is calling us back to the ways of Jesus and to the will of the Father. So help us to remember that this week, and help us this week to put into practice what it means to pray for others. That would flow out of the private times where we learn to be with you, not needing the applause of people. And that this morning as we go now, you would help us to be safe, to be wise, to make good decisions, and to model a different way of life, Jesus, because you are the center of our lives. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.